Hello, beloved of God, favored ones. This is Pastor Renee Antrosio bringing you the greeting of the angel Gabriel. Rejoice, favored one, the Lord is with you. This is the message God has for each of us, and like Mary, we are confused by this greeting. Dare we rejoice? Dare we believe God's favor? Can we trust and be willing to experience that the Lord is with us and desires to live within us? During Christmas, we celebrate the uniqueness of the story, of Mary being chosen, of Mary saying, yes, let it be, of the Holy Spirit overshadowing her, of Mary carrying the presence of God within her, of Jesus coming as a baby, making his home with humanity. With the angels, we give glory to God at this miracle, the revelation of God's love to and with us in the person of God's Son, in the Anointed One, Jesus. Rightly so. And today we are also invited to recognize in this story the pattern in which God is and desires to be present in each of us, to grow within us, to be born in us today. In the Advent readings leading up to Christmas, we are reminded of the many miraculous birth stories in the Bible, of messengers of God appearing to men and women to proclaim that something extraordinary is about to happen. On Friday, the assigned Bible passages for Catholics included a story from the book of Judges, chapter 13, where the Lord's messenger appeared to a woman who was to become the mother of Samson. Now there was a certain man from Zorah, from the Danite clan, whose name was Manoah. His wife was unable to become pregnant and had not given birth to any children. The Lord's messenger appeared to the woman and said to her, "Even though you've been unable to become pregnant and haven't given birth, you are now pregnant and will give birth to a son. Now be careful not to drink wine or brandy or to eat anything that is ritually unclean, because you are pregnant and will give birth to a son. Don't allow a razor to shave his head, because the boy is going to be a Nazarite for God from birth. He'll be the one who begins Israel's rescue from the power of the Philistines." And in today's passages is a reading from the book of Isaiah, when at another time the people of Israel were in crisis, Jerusalem was under siege, and the Lord sent the prophet Isaiah to King Ahaz to tell him that salvation is on the way. "Therefore, the Lord will give you a sign. The young woman is pregnant and is about to give birth to a son, and she will name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. He will eat butter and honey and learn to reject evil and choose good. But before the boy learns to reject evil and choose good, the land of the two kings whom you dread will be abandoned." Pregnancy and birth are so very ordinary, the way by which every human being comes into existence, and so very miraculous, a unique experience each time, unlike any other. The Bible is full of stories where pregnancy is a sign, the process and birth a promise of deliverance. This is a pattern that is both fulfilled with Mary and Jesus, and a metaphor for understanding how God works in our lives, individually and collectively, to bring about our salvation. So I invite and encourage us to hear the words of the angel to each of us. Rejoice, favored one. The Lord is with you. Which part of this greeting is hard for you to accept? The invitation to rejoice? The idea that you are favored by God? The belief that the Lord is with you? What would need to change for us to be able to accept this greeting as spoken to us? Mary was confused by these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Perhaps we are also confused. How can we rejoice in the midst of so much suffering in the world? This was true in Mary's time as well, by the way. She was living in an occupied state. The empire was oppressing her people. Religious authorities were collaborating with the government. Corruption was rampant. How could she rejoice? The word rejoice is used over 200 times in the Bible, roughly 150 in the Old Testament and 50 times in the New Testament. In Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all people. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and pleading with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." The invitation to joy, to rejoice, is not based on our outward circumstances, whether the empire is oppressing people, whether or not the religious establishment is corrupt and collaborating with injustice, our own insignificance or lowliness, how our plans are working out or not, the health or sickness of our physical bodies. We are invited to find our joy, our release from anxiety, in the peace of God, peace that we don't understand and seems to make no sense given our circumstances. Mary was nobody important. How is it possible that little me, too young or too old or too boringly in the middle, without fame or power, a complete unknown, is favored? In this too, we see a pattern. God comes to people who seem unimportant, unworthy, unfavored. When we reflect on the many stories of the Bible, we see that God chose the unlikely, as Melissa said in her last teaching. Even and especially in God's choosing of Israel, not because they were powerful or righteous, but because in showing favor, God demonstrates the pattern God desires for each one of us: to show love, to show honor, to breathe new life into us, to have the divine, the Spirit of God, grow within us. The angel said, "Don't be afraid, Mary. God is honoring you." The pattern continues. God's messengers say again and again, "Do not be afraid." But there are so many things we fear. Letting go of control, or the illusion that we are in control of our lives, that we know what is best. Relinquishing our plans, our previous engagements, to hold them loosely. This was also the angel's message to Joseph when he found out that his fiancée was pregnant with a child that he knew was not his. As he was thinking about this, an angel from the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because the child she carries was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Do not be afraid to let God work in you, to let God honor you. Do not be afraid to embrace those in whom God is also working, to recognize their honor, to see how God's Spirit is growing within them. Fear keeps us from saying yes to God's presence within us, to allowing God to make a home in us. Fear keeps us from accepting God's love for us and for those around us. Like Mary, like Joseph, like so many stories in the Bible, we are invited, encouraged, not to fear. What is our deepest fear? Perhaps not that we are insignificant, but that we are favored, that God wants to honor us. Author Marianne Williamson articulates it this way: our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. A different way of saying this might be that we are afraid of original blessing, embracing our identity as created in the very image of God, bearing the image of God. God's power, God's light. We prefer the narrative of original sin, our brokenness, our inadequacies, our darkness. We are afraid of the light that God has placed within us. We are afraid of the message and the messenger. So we need to hear again and again, don't be afraid. God is honoring you. When Mary accepted the message of the angel, when Mary said, yes, let it be, when the Holy Spirit came over her so that the presence of God would grow within her, she was able to see her circumstances, the world, with different eyes, with the vision of God at work beyond time. Luke 1:46-49, Mary said, with all my heart I glorify the Lord. In the depths of who I am, I rejoice in God my Savior. He has looked with favor on the low status of his servant. Look, from now on, everyone will consider me highly favored, because the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. Can we echo Mary's words? Can we too give praise and rejoice in God our Savior? Accept God's favor on us, that God wants to do great things for us and within us. I must admit that this message comes as somewhat of a surprise to me. Our theme this Advent has been homes and homelessness. We've talked about how Mary and Joseph were forced to leave their home in Nazareth because the Roman Empire decreed that everyone had to put their names on organized tax lists so they could extract resources from occupied territories. Mary gave birth far from home, and Jesus was born into a kind of homelessness. Then, when he was still a young child, they were forced to flee as refugees to Egypt to escape from a jealous ruler. As an adult, Jesus said that foxes have holes and birds have nests, but that he had no place to lay his head. This aspect of the Advent stories has helped us see homes and homelessness differently as we collect coats for those without addresses in our own community, and as we honor and collaborate with Habitat for Humanity in building homes here and in Mississippi. The call to welcome the stranger, to provide homes, to build community, this we celebrate, honor, and cultivate in our fellowship of extended family. And the miracle and mystery of Christmas is Emmanuel. Our God is with us. As it says in John's Gospel, quoted on the front of your bulletins, the Word became flesh and made his home among us. We have seen his glory, glory like that of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. We recognize Jesus as the light in the darkness. We see his glory, acknowledge his sonship, his unique role as anointed ambassador of God's love to the world. And the amazing part of this is that Jesus, after being raised from death by God and seated in heaven, is somehow also with us and desires to live within us. Jesus' last words to his disciples in the Gospel of Matthew are, I've received all authority in heaven and on earth, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. Look, I myself will be with you every day until the end of this present age. And in his message to John for the churches in the book of Revelation, Jesus says, look, I'm standing at the door and knocking. If any hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to be with them and will have dinner with them, and they will have dinner with me. As for those who emerge victorious, I will allow them to sit with me on my throne, just as I emerged victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. If you can hear, listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. I grew up in a tradition that emphasized Jesus knocking at the door of our hearts. As a child, I asked Jesus into my heart and have experienced throughout my life this mystery of Jesus being with me wherever I went, to boarding school in Connecticut, as an exchange student in Moscow, as a teaching assistant in Transkei, South Africa, to college and grad school, and even in my move here to Champaign-Urbana in the late 90s, where I asked God that first year why he had brought me to this wilderness, complaining like the Israelites in the desert, until this place gradually became my home. The message I heard before I sat down to write is that Jesus wants to make his home within us. That wherever we are, if Jesus is with us, we are at home. This is the security that Jesus experienced despite his homelessness, that God was with him. God is his home wherever he is. And that is what Jesus offers to us as well, that our home, our homeland is in God, so that we are always at home with him, even as we are still longing for our true homeland, a unity with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so the encouragement to welcome Jesus, to make his home within you, to invite Jesus into your heart, is one that I witnessed to from my own experience, that Jesus wants to be at home in you, and for you to be at home with him wherever you are, and to know that your true home is with God, and to trust that truth with a peace that passes understanding. But the revelation that I was not expecting was the understanding of Mary as the pattern and the metaphor beyond her unique experience, that we are invited to also experience the message of the angel. Rejoice, favored one. The Lord is with you. Don't be afraid. God is honoring you. The Holy Spirit will come over you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the one who is to be born will be holy. He will be called God's Son. God wants to show us favor. God wants to honor us. The Lord is with us. Don't be afraid. Rejoice. That perhaps as a companion to the image of the adult Jesus knocking at the door of our hearts, we might pair the image of the Holy Spirit planting within us a tiny spark of life to grow into holiness. The life within us needs to be nurtured as we choose love over fear. That what is within us will bless the world with holiness. The pattern of being chosen to bear new life, impossible births by the most unlikely people, doesn't end with Mary. She is the fulfillment of the pattern. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets, not as the end of the pattern, but as the firstborn of many. If, like Mary, we too are willing to say yes, yes to being favored, yes to being honored, willing to say no to fear and yes to love. Yes to being overshadowed with the Spirit so that holiness might grow within us. In this pattern, we are reminded that at the beginning of pregnancy, for like the first third of the process, people cannot see the life that is multiplying in cells within us. It is hidden growth. And I think of how often the work that God is doing within us, the holiness that God is growing inside of us, is invisible to others. It is internal work. But as the growth process continues, the transformation is more and more obvious. By the last months of pregnancy, the new life is so prominent that even strangers want to reach out and touch it. This too is a pattern we see in people who have been cultivating the growth of the Spirit within for many years, that others just want to be around them, to touch them. The transformation that was hidden becomes more and more evident as holiness grows within them, within us. In the story of Mary's pregnancy, we see how she and Joseph relinquish control over their plans, their engagement, allowing God's messengers to speak into their lives. And we are invited to do the same. even when the empire seems to dictate our movements, when we have to leave our homes or flee to another country, we choose to trust that the life growing inside of us will emerge victorious, even over death, to be seated on the throne, as Jesus said in Revelation. Returning to author Marianne Williamson's articulation of the difficulty of stepping into the favor that God has for us, we ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, famous, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. As we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we're liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. This poem is another way of describing the pattern of God's presence within us. As Jesus said, letting our light shine so that God is glorified. That God's message again and again is not to fear. That we too are to be the agents of liberation. Elizabeth said it another way when Mary came to see her. God has blessed you above all women. He has blessed the child you carry. Why do I have this honor? That the mother of my Lord should come to me. As soon as I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. Happy is she who believed that the Lord would fulfill the promises he made to her. Mary is the pattern, and the invitation to her is the invitation to us to be blessed, to believe that the Lord will fulfill his promises within us and through us, to believe and to bring joy to others as the presence of the Holy grows within us. To whatever extent you are able to hear these words, I pray that you are also able to say yes to the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life, that you hear Jesus knocking on the door of your heart as a tiny spark of life to grow within and as the resurrected one come to eat dinner with you. God wants to make a home with us and within us. May we also say, yes, let it be with me just as you have said. Amen.